We greet you in Jesus' name this evening, bringing greetings from Providence Congregation. Enjoyed worshiping here with you and thinking about the holiness of God, one we're worshiping this evening. Subject this evening is keepers at home. Godly living is being challenged in many ways today, and this is an area that it's under attack, and we feel at different times. As I started studying this a year ago or so, a while back, I started with an awareness of the women's liberation movement and some of the feelings in society about this kind of subject. And as I went on and as I studied what the Bible had to say about it, the biggest thing that stood out to me and the thing I'd like to impress most on us this evening is that God has a plan and he knows what he's talking about. The more I studied, the more I was impressed with the high calling God has for our sisters. God's plan is perfect this evening. It's the way it should be. And there's nothing we can do to improve on it. There's no better way of doing it. There's all kinds of other ways people are exploring and trying and make ends meet or whatever to get ahead further in life, but they don't. God's way is best. God's way is perfect. God's way works. As humans, we are each learning to fill our God-given place and to follow him. But as we each find that, the place that he has for each of us is wonderful. And it's the best place for us to be. That's where we want to be. Now, that sounds pretty idealistic. And when it doesn't seem like you can keep up with the housework and diapers and all kinds of things like that, it might be hard to remember all that. But God's plan is still right. Now, in contrast to that, or to offset that, all those mundane things that go along with being a keeper at home, consider the alternative. Contrast that with the overwhelming feeling, that overwhelmed feeling with the alternative, the increased tendency toward broken homes that we see all around us, the neglected children, even the ones that are given quality time. And I think we're just beginning to see the effects of society's view of marriage and those kind of things. I think it's going to continue getting much worse. But it has such a devastating effect on children and on home life. As an illustration, there's one account I heard of where both parents worked. Their children were raised in daycare centers. On their one son's 16th birthday, parents wanted to do something really special for him. And you know kind of how that is. In a way, they want to make up for the times they haven't been with him, so they wanted to get him a car. They put a new car in the garage the morning of his birthday, put a ribbon and a note on it. And note read, "Happy birthday, we love you." The parents both left for work before their son got up. When he got up and found the car, the son expressed his inner feelings and wrote a note back saying, "Mom and Dad, I didn't want this car, I wanted you." And we're told he then went out and took his life. Somehow, there's a deep desire within our children and within the family unit, the way God's made it, to be together and to have time with each other like that. And I don't think we can fully understand what it's like when that's missing. Now, I also want to say at the beginning of this message that we understand there's times and circumstances where women are called to fill different roles than we'll be talking about tonight. And there's times when husband's not there. And I believe God gives special grace in those kind of times, special strength. But what we're talking about is more of a typical situation and what God typically wants for his people. But we don't feel, can't depend on a normal situation like that. Now, turn to Titus chapter 2. It's where this phrase comes from. This chapter lays out the characteristics of God's people for quite a number of different roles. And so we're looking at what it says to our sisters, and we're actually just picking out one phrase or one description, one characteristic that's given to them. This sermon is addressing all of us, even in relation to just being a keeper at home, because I believe we all have something to do with it. As sisters, you're finding your place, and you're helping your daughters grow up and learn to fill their place, fill a similar place. As men, we have a big responsibility, I believe, in helping to keep that role an honorable role and allowing our sisters to fit in there, to fill themselves there, not putting pressure on to do something different, to do something outside of God's plan like that. Excuse me. Titus chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll jump down a little bit. Titus 2, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men be likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now let's jump down to verse 11. Verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So you kind of get the scope of it. I mean, this is direction given to God's people, no matter what their role, and there's a lot of different responsibilities or characteristics that we're supposed to live up to, qualities that we're supposed to have. And so to the sisters, this is just one thing in the list. And yet it's an important thing, and it's a thing that's under fire in the world today. The last several verses we read there bring out more of the power to be able to do those and to meet those qualifications for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And he helps us to each fill the role that we're called to fill. He's there to help us do it. We're not going to spend a lot more time on that passage, but he encourages us to find that and to follow God's will for our lives. Speaking of being a keeper at home, has two different thoughts in it. One is what you're doing, what she's doing, being a keeper, and then it's where you're doing it at home. And we'll look some more at a number of different aspects of those things. Keeping, the action, speaks of a lot of things that are taken care of, but there's also an aspect of guarding or of being on the lookout and responsible for things. And also the aspect of being at home. Is it optional for God's people to meet these requirements? Is it optional for a sister to be a keeper at home?
Not really
described in that way. I wondered a little bit about the idea of actually being at home. Was that really that important? Is that really what it's trying to say? But it was interesting to me, two of the places where it talks about lewd women, women that are not filling their place properly, that's one of the descriptions that it gives. Proverbs 7:11, a lewd woman is being described, and one of the descriptions that lists is she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. One of the characteristics of her is she just doesn't stay home. She's out and about all around, and you know, she's just not at home. It's one of the descriptions given of her. And also in 1 Timothy 5:13, where it's talking about young widows and teaching concerning how to help them, says, "Where and withal they learn to be idle." Okay, so you're supposed to help them and teach them so that they don't learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In the Bible context, wandering about from house to house and not being at home is not a good thing. It's not a good connotation to have. All right, I want to look at several different aspects here. First of all, I want to look at several things that a keeper at home will be or will do. And, that's mainly it. We'll look at several different things that a keeper at home will be. First one is that she will have a home focus. Her thoughts and her desires, her focus will be centered around a home. Of course, that's a challenge today. Many women are looking for roles and fulfillment outside of home, outside the home. We could probably look at a lot of different statistics. The one that I came across said that women today are moving into a career world. According to statistics, there are more women graduating from college than men. Women are looking for professional careers. They're looking for, fulfillment in that way. Some way they can get a professional job. And it's just interesting to me that it's actually more women than men graduating like that and trying to secure what appears to be a good job like that. Also, some other things that take us away from that home focus or affect that are the increased leisure time and the entertainment that we have today in this day and age have tended to make people spend more time away from home, especially recreational time. Probably less work and more leisurely time lets people stay home from the job more, but it ends up that we run around more too. Or people tend to be away from home like that. And that's affected family life. It's affected what people see of as their home. We see mothers and daughters working, even when there's other needs there. And there's lots of different situations and lots of different cases, but you could probably call to mind situations where there's ailing parents that need help, and all the children are busy. They all have jobs. They're all unavailable, not available to help take care of the family like, in a sense, we see God's word calling us to be responsible to take care of our parents. And again, I'm saying there's different situations, and yet, how do we find our way through all that? How do we find a balance when there's needs there, and how do we discern between those needs versus a job and helping to supply the family with income? How can we put that together? Now, another thought here is that staying at home or being a keeper at home is probably a little bit different than it was 50 or 100 years ago. To spend a lot of time visiting with other people and to be involved in other people's lives, you would have had to travel around going back a little bit, little ways, you'd have to get in your horse and buggy or walk and go visit people and sit down and cross the table from them and talk to them. And, you know, if you weren't home, that's, you had to be traveling around some way like that. Of course, with what we have now, we can be at home or at home a whole lot more of the time and still be very involved with other people's lives and be busybodies. And I'm not saying that's what we are doing, but it's so easy to do. And it's so easy to be involved in a lot of other things and yet be home some, or to spend your time at home typing up emails and society, spending a lot of time on social networking and all those kind of things. And even though they're physically at home, they're not really present, you know, not really present there. So the idea here is to have a home focus, have our focus at home. And what we're really talking about is having a vision of making a home a place that draws family members, making the house a home, the things that go into making that happen, making that real. And that takes a woman's energy and her focus, her plans and dreams. It means they center around a home. They're not centered around a career and getting somewhere in life. But many of these things we have a tremendous heritage in, and you have a tremendous pattern that was established by your mothers and grandmothers. And so a lot of this message is just to reinforce that and to encourage us to continue that on. We want to do that. We want to keep that as a high place. Make home a place to get away from the challenges of life and get refreshed. And again, I think many of our homes, that's a goal for our homes, and many of our homes are a refuge like that that we want to come home to and be at. Now, along with that, I think it's important that we, part of that is enjoying and majoring on domestic duties. May seem like the jobs are endless, but they are eternally rewarding. Even though it's a mundane thing to keep washing the dishes and keep up with those kind of things, washing the clothes, it is something that God sees, and it's something that's important in the lives of your family. And it's important to learn to do those things and to do them well. The wise woman looks after the practical matters of home life. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Okay, we'll get more of that point later. Another thought on this subject is the mealtime is a family time. Making mealtime an important time. Everyone, and that includes us men, making it a priority to be there at mealtime so that it can be a special family time. But it's something that women especially put a lot of effort into, and it's intended and should be a good time for our families. Are we there when the children get home from school? The Bible says, "The son left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Why does it say it bringeth his mother to shame? I don't know fully what that's referring to, but I had to think of after school time. Children come home and they like to talk to their parents, but especially their mother. Mother's normally the one that's there. And I know there's times when mother's away, but I think that's really, really important that a mother's there and can listen. The son left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I believe it's their God-given place to be there for the children. The second major point I have in relation to being a keeper at home is to be supportive of her husband. It's not something that I've thought up, but it is what the Bible teaches, that a keeper at home will be one who supports her husband. I believe that's part of the keeping at home package. The love and reverence her husband helps him to fill his place in meeting the needs of the family. And as far as family life and marriage and all that works together, we can look at it several different ways, but it's generally easy for a wife to submit to a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And it's a challenge for us as men to love our wives the way we should so they can fill their place and submit to us and be the support to us that we should, that we need, really. So it's a place we as husbands need to fill there. And along with that, as husbands, in honoring the role of the home and our wife being a keeper there, can we support her in her domestic duties? Are we willing to, well, sometimes we would say we're willing to give our lives for our wife, things that seems to be almost across the line. So we should, it's good for us to try to help with some of those things. Third point I have down is to welcome and nurture children. A keeper at home has high regard for children. It's just that way. We're called to different lots in life. You may not be married, or maybe your children have all left the nest, but a keeper at home has a high regard for children. And as a mother, you put yourself into the children. As single girls, as single people, we can help busy mothers. It's a way that we can help make home life work, make it so that someone can be an effective keeper at home. And teaching at school and those kind of places help us to keep that, to consider our children to be an important thing, an important responsibility that God has given to us. The keeper at home will welcome children into our own home and help other mothers with their children duties. Fourth thing I down is the keeper at home will be an authority to the children. The father is the primary authority, but mother needs to be supportive and reinforce his authority. And I don't know, God's made us all different, and we each find a different fit there between fathers and mothers, and yet we each need to take our place. And father needs to be effective in his administration to the children, but a mother needs to be effective also, and she needs to have a certain amount of firmness there to hold things together. And she may not need to take care of the most difficult things. Those can be saved for her father when he gets home. But the Bible talks in Proverbs 1:8, says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Probably many of us remember certain rules or certain lines that our mother had that we dare not cross. Certain places there that she held a firm line. Maybe you could push some other areas, but God's made us all different. And yet, normally, a woman, a wife, a keeper at home is to have a law, have law for the children to keep them in order, have an authority, keep authority with the children. Mother's law gives the children stability and security. You need that, or they're going to suffer as they go on through life. Thinking about being a keeper at home, having a law and stability and security there for your children as they're in your home. Now, the fifth thing I've down is for all of us to encourage domestic skills and service. And this is closely related to the first point, talking about domestic things you're doing, but I guess I see a role for all of us in this. I believe it's a joint effort, church, home, and individual parents.
What we have them do.
What we encourage our teenagers. How quickly we have them get jobs, those kind of things, and what kind of jobs they get go into some of, are determined some by our priority on the home. And what we have as their goal when they get married, when they, you know, what do we want them to be able to do? How comfortable do we want them to be in their own home? Can we give them the proper training so that they can fill their role, their God-given role, in a proper way? Have we taught our teenage daughters to plan and cook meals? Do they know how to sew and to keep house? I appreciate it when young girls may eventually get a job, but if first it's made sure, parents make sure that they have learned the basic domestic duties. They know how to sew and cook, prepare meals and those kind of things. I think it's important that they learn some of those things before we push them out into the world where they become secretaries or and other things. And I don't know what all situations you have, but I think as a general rule, we should put priority on learning some of those basic skills before we get real excited about a lot of other positions. I also think it's important as husbands that we make it easy for our wives, and there's probably a balance there. I'm sure there's all kinds of marketing and advertising geared toward the home, and there's all kinds of extras and money that could be spent on all kinds of things there. I'm well aware of that. On the other hand, I've seen cases where the man has technology to keep his farm going and whatever, latest tractors or trucks or whatever. But in the house, he wants to keep doing things with, you could say an exaggeration, but with the wringer washer type of thing. He wants to make do. Everybody may do like this in the past, and so my wife can too. I think we should be careful to get our wives the things that would make life easy for them and make their duties reasonable and easy. We need to find their balance in that. But as husbands, I think we have a responsibility to respect our wives and make things easy for them as we can. The next point I have down is we all need to value and make contributions to make home life what it should be. Now, I hadn't thought so much about this, but we, even grandparents, have a role in how we look at home life and our women being keepers at home. The parents of married children, can you help your daughters to submit to the decision of her husband and to fill her role as God has given to her? And that just wasn't something I'd thought of before, but after I preached this several places, I had several comments that, you know, that's an important point. There's situations where the parents or grandparents didn't support their married children and didn't support them in a way that helped to bring things together. So we have a role in helping. Each have a role, no matter what stage of life we're at, in making home life easier. If you're children, the Bible gives direction to children to obey their parents. And I realize in a lot of cases they're young and they don't have nearly as much responsibility as others, but as they come to the years of accountability, and they have a role in helping to make home life enjoyable and pleasant and what it should be. Even if mom and dad are unfair at times or inconsistent sometimes, children are still called to obey. And I came across the definition of obedience as to do as you are told. Obedience is to do as you are told. And that's your obligation as you live at home. Sometimes as parents we need to remember that, maybe. It's the definition of obedience, to do as you are told. It's very simple. In a way. Also to honor. We honor our parents. Respect is something we're called to give to our parents throughout life. No matter what age you are, you're called to honor your parents. And that helps to keep the God-given institution of marriage and home life what it should be. Make sure discipline is carried out to help children grow, not to discourage them. different things we need to think about as parents. In conclusion, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3, I want to read. You're called to be a keeper at home, to take care of the responsibilities there, and that's not a job that's over at 5 in the evening or at 8 in the evening. And your husband will probably support you as much as he can, but he's not always there. He's not able to always be there. But as you're a keeper at home, there is one who will be, who has promised to be your keeper. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And it goes on. But you get the picture. As you're the keeper at home, God has promised to be your keeper and to give you the strength you need and to be with you, whatever situations you face, whatever questions, trials, emergencies, whatever, come your way. You're not alone. There's one who's there and who doesn't sleep. May God bless you as you fill your place.